From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey, Bob. It's been a while.
Since we got copyright stricken. It's been a while.
They're not going to do that to us. But, Bob, great to be back here. Another episode of Bob After Dark.
Yes, and it's wonderful to be here. I'm excited to be here. It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Combination of my health. I had my procedure last week. As of recording this, we haven't gotten the results yet. They removed, I'll save you guys the gory details, but they removed 4 polyps and they're, trying to figure out what else is going on up there. But so far 4 polyps and I'll save you the gory details from there, but I'm doing my best. Last week was a miserable experience. The week before I wasn't feeling very good. And then we had radio scheduling issues. So it's just been a wave, but we're all here. And I told Kyle, I was like, I'll crawl here if I have to this week to be here. So I'm excited to be here.
But you didn't crawl. You walk like a human does.
Yes. Normally I'd ask for your weekend update, but it's been a couple weekends. So just give me, how you doing, man?
I've been doing good, Bob.
The summer solstice, you know.
You must have read my mind. I was just going to talk about the summer solstice. Yes. As we record this, the day before the summer solstice.
Yes,
actually, right?
We are recording the day before. When the podcast comes out, it'll be on the summer solstice.
So that's the longest day of the year, right?
Longest day of the year, veils thin.
Which is bad for vampires.
Bad for you, yes. Good for nobody, really, because it's hot then.
We like the shortest day of the year because we get a lot more night.
And I'm also a cold person, so I prefer the cold air.
But Hawaiian shirt Bob.
I have officially switched over to Hawaiian shirts. This upcoming weekend, I got something going on, and I'll be wearing nothing but Hawaiian shirts for it. So.
Tis the season, Bob.
That's what I was going to say. So I have officially migrated into the flannels are put away, the jeans for the most part are put away, and now it's summer fun time, Bob.
And you got a lightweight cape there. Now, you mentioned the veil being at its thinnest.
It's not at its thinnest.
Okay.
Every 4 of the years, right? So you have your winter solstice, it's thin. Then you have your spring equinox, it's thin again, and then you have your summer solstice, it's thin, and then you have the fall equinox, that is when it's at its thinnest.
Okay, so, I mean, okay, we're working with it there, but...
Yep, so every 4th of the year, the theory would be that tomorrow is one of those days where the veil between our world and the next is thinned.
There you have it. Well, yes. Bob... Hopefully everybody listening to this is enjoying their summertime. It's hot.
It has been miserable.
It's been in the 90s each
and the 90s,
day.
It hit 100 yesterday.
Yeah, so.
Have you ever, the quick news story that's not related to us, but did you see that the CTA lines caught on fire because it was so hot the other day?
I know South Shore was delayed because of just the heat.
Nonsense, man. Yeah. But anyway, let's dive right in. So Bob After Dark is your weekly show where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite drink to have poolside.
Are we talking about just a...
It could be an alcoholic or non-alcoholic beverage.
How about for a non-alcoholic, iced tea.
Ooh, that's a good pick.
And for alcoholic, a Long Island
iced
tea.
Clever.
How about you?
Non-alcoholic. Dude, I've been into these non-alcoholic beers lately, like the sparkling water.
You like them?
Yeah, man. It's like this, they call them euphoric drinks.
Yeah.
So you have one, there's no alcohol, they're completely legal. They have like extra magnesium in it, so kind of like makes your system feel a little fun, so it's like you're drinking, but you're totally sober and you're coherent, but it just kind of relaxes your body. That might be my new favorite summertime non-alcoholic drink, because those cold, man, chef's kiss.
Nothing beats them.
No, and then as far as an alcoholic drink, for outside summertime, PBR, it is hard pressed. Right. I you know me so well.
I was gonna say, but you enjoy that beer. Poolside and non-poolside.
I was gonna say I'm hard pressed to not say PBR because that is my favorite. Mm. But like when I'm not, but that's like my go-to beer 365. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So alcoholic, a Mai Tai, I think they're called.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I've had them. I've gone Queen Knight and me. We've gone up to the Wisconsin Dells and I've gotten the Mai Tais and they are wonderful.
All right. So you got to think along though, like a poolside drink.
Yeah. There. A poolside cocktail, yeah. You know, those fun things you drink out of with coconut and the little umbrella toothpicks.
Pina colada, maybe.
Pina. Yeah. Do you like pina coladas, Count Panic?
I like getting caught in the rain. Too.
Do you like making love at midnight?
I'm a vampire, of course.
All right, so Bob After Dark is split up into two parts. First part of this, the weird spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, are going searching the internet for the strange, the mysterious, the odd, the bizarre cases, anything from like ghost sightings, cryptid sightings, weird advances that borderline on science fiction, or just all out strange, wild news stories. And then we dive into the lore of the week. So kind of, let's dive into right now the spooky news story of the week. Sorry, guys, I can't talk.
Let's do it.
Tongue-tied. So, Count Panic, what if I was to tell you that a mysterious monolith is appearing in Las Vegas desert as this temperature soar?
Is this like
Space Odyssey? 2001.
Yeah.
We covered the one that was in New Mexico a couple years ago. Do you remember?
Yeah.
So authorities in Las Vegas are puzzled over the mysterious monolith that was spotted over the weekend near Gas Peak. The Las Vegas Metro Search and Rescue said they'll leave it up to the internet to figure out how the object got there. We see a lot of weird things when people go hiking, like not being prepared for the weather or not bringing enough water. But check this out, authorities say. Similar monoliths have been found in Belgium, Romania, and the Isle of Wight, an island in the English Channel. It might be White, W-I-G-H-T. In November 2020, one of the monoliths estimated at between 10 and 12 feet high was found in Utah, not New Mexico. It was Utah. That's the one we covered. Wildlife employees who were counting sheep from a helicopter. In the meantime, authorities are reminding people how to stay cool as temperatures rise, as bringing plenty of food and water. The significant heat wave of the summer is underway, and tens of thousands of millions of people from the Midwest to the Northeast looking for ways to stay cool as temperatures soar into the middle 90s this week and next week. The sweltering temperatures, I don't know why this relates back to the monolith, but a monolith has revealed its presence in Vegas, Count, and it is a perfectly four-sided mirrored monolith. So hashtag panics take.
Yeah, Bob, these are strange. Now, I remember we talked about the other ones before. What did we ever find out the result of what those were? Was that just like an artist being funny or what?
Maybe the last one they chalked up to artists, but how many monoliths are just buried in the sand? Yeah. And in this case, dude, the thing is like a perfect four-sided clear mirror.
This one's tough.
Now, the last one I believe was an obsidian monolith or like a black, you know, like glass-like substance structure. This one is like metallic and chromey. Does that make sense?
I can't explain it, Bob. I mean,
and it looks like if it was buried for a while and it was just coming up.
Yeah,
it's in really good shape. So, I don't know how many of these you can say are coincidences. You know,
I'm chalking it up to something.
Hey, so this next news story comes to us from super fan and my pal Desmond out of the Detroit area, and that is the Mothman root beer hit shelves in Point Pleasant. Mm. This is written by Eyewitness News. By the way, that last news story is actually just published as I was walking in. Fox 32 Chicago posted it. That's breaking news, yeah. More or less. So this one is from Eyewitness WCHS Fox 11. This is the Mothman Museum announced a cryptid concoction Thursday as Mothman root beer flies onto shelves at several Point Pleasant businesses. The soda, which is brewed, bottled, and sold at the museum, is also available at Bunker 304 and on tap at the Point Pleasant Trading Company. The beverage marks another way for fans can get their Mothman fix. Fans will have to travel to Point Pleasant if they're looking to try the drink because it's exclusively being sold in locations that I just mentioned. So it's not widely available, but the art's really cool. And I do like me a good root beer, and I'm glad they went down. Now that I can't drink alcohol for the moment, I seek out other ways to get enjoyment, and I like root beer quite a bit. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited that they made this a root beer and not like, you know, a beer or a whiskey or something, because that would be the easy answer, right?
Yep.
Several years ago, a distillery out of Pennsylvania, or was it New Jersey? I can't remember, but our friend Josh sent it over to us. It was Wendigo Gin. It was some of the best gin in the world. So they could have went down that route and done like an alcoholic beverage. And I'm sure if I went to a Point Pleasant like brewery, I'm sure there's a Mothman beer there. I've never been, surprisingly. So I'm glad they did root beer, though. That's really cool. And I wonder if it's good. I haven't. If any of my fans have tried it, let me know. Do you like a good root beer count? Let's get the hashtag panic stick.
Maybe a root beer float, too, on a nice summer day. That's nice as well. But you're right, Bob. A lot of times the novelty drinks will go strictly to the alcohol. Given beverages, but it's nice to share the wealth with the other ones too. Now, and like you said, I'm sure Mothman is covered in many alcoholic beverages out there. So, a good win for the root beer community today.
Yes, and then this is my final story comes to us from listener Larry out of Indianapolis. Yeah. Larry sent this in a little bit ago, so I've been sitting on this article, but I haven't done a show, so this might be a little old to some people, but it's new to us. And this is from the Daily Star, that is a magazine across the pond, as they say. UK is running out of ghosts as old spirits dying off, paranormal expert says. Paranormal expert and author Dr. Paul Lee believes the UK has been running out of ghosts as aging spirits are currently dormant or have moved on to the other side. Britain is facing a ghost shortage as aging spirits are passing over to the other side, according to the lead paranormal expert. Dr. Paul Lee believes that the UK's spectral heritage is in serious decline as many ghosts have become dormant or moved on. The paranormal researcher and author shared, since January 2020, I've been contacting all the reportedly haunted locations on my app and asking if the residents, owners, or staff have experienced any unexplained activity. He continued, so far, I've seen almost 800 replies in even supposedly highly haunted places like Cowansboro Castle in South Yorkshire or the Edenting Park Hotel in Stratford, said that one of the most haunted is said to be one of the most haunted hotels in the UK, and Fortnum and Mason in Piccadilly say they haven't experienced anything in the last couple of years. Dr. Lee added in the 2020 chat with the Daily Star saying, but it seems though as many famous ghosts are either dormant or have faded or moved on, and as time's progressed, it's kind of sticking to it. So recently he has suggested that it could be that a spirit had a natural source of energy to begin with, which has dwindled away over time, leaving them without the reserves to manifest anymore. However, Dr. Lee, who hails from Fairstead Nolfac and holds a PhD in nuclear physics, offered a glimmer of hope, saying it may just be that the ghost can be recharged. He concluded, you sometimes hear stories of ghosts suddenly appearing again after many years' absence. The staff at the Sheffield's iconic Meltdown Bar had called in the team of paranormal investigators after noticing lights and TV switching on and off by themselves, along with a ghostly sighting. So we're not all completely out of the, you know, not completely out of ghost stories, but this guy is saying that the UK is running low on them. I think this is a really interesting topic. So let's hear your opinion first, Count, with the hashtag panics take.
Yeah. So let me break this down. It's so much the ghost stories, but the ghosts themselves too. Mm-hmm. The lack of ghosts.
So ghost stories will stay, right? As long as somebody like me is around, that's going to tell these stories, generations, they'll always be there.
Yeah.
But the activity itself is drying up.
What do you think causes that? Are the ghosts just
That's a good question. And so, what brings a ghost to this reality? What keeps a ghost to this reality? What is a ghost or a spirit? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you answer those questions, you might find out what happens after. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, like, some what we think of, we see a ghost, it's like usually a ghost in old time wear, you know, from the old days. We don't see too many ghosts with like baseball hats and like tank tops.
Yes, or Crocs.
Crocs. We don't see ghosts wearing modern day wear anymore.
Not really, no. Yeah. That's the thing. So what happens to a ghost if they've been wandering around too long? And that does answer a question James from Peoria pitched to me years ago when we were having a talk about the paranormal. And that is, how come we've never seen a Neanderthal ghost?
Yeah, right. Good point.
And that's a good question. I couldn't tell you one story about a caveman ghost. So it leaves the wonder, all right, so let's say a spirit is on our plane of reality in some transitional period. You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
What is keeping them here? Is it unfinished business? Because if it's unfinished business, what is the business that they had left behind? How are they accomplishing it? Or are they just kind of giving up on it and moving on?
Yeah.
Or as the doctor here is saying, are they just losing energy over time? And then that leads to the bigger question, what happens to a dead ghost?
I don't know. Good question.
Do they move directly on to whatever's next? Or is there a next? To me, that's the most terrifying question of them all, right?
Yeah.
I'm a believer in the paranormal. We all know that. You're in the middle of the ground, but you've seen things you can't explain.
I've seen things, and
you've experienced things you can't explain. But what I'm getting at here is, if a spirit can lose energy and just dissipate, where does it go? Or does it just cease to exist?
Great point, Bob.
That's terrifying.
It is terrifying. I can't explain it.
That's a question. And, you know, I'm going with the fact that, you know, I like the concept that there's a battery to this, right? And he's saying, well, if they can run out of energy, can we recharge it? And I think you're getting into extremely dangerous territory there, Doc. You're not only messing with the laws of life, now you're messing with whatever nonsensical laws we have in the afterlife by recharging a ghost.
Yeah.
You figure out a way to recharge a ghost. Now we have Neanderthal ghosts running around. You know what I'm saying?
It's a whole circle.
And are you pulling them out of the afterlife? Or are you pulling them out of the, you know, like, whatever's next? You could call it heaven and hell if you'd like, whatever the terminology you would like to use, you can. But like, are you pulling them out of that to bring them back here by this recharge process? In which case, in that way, it's like, well, what are you gaining out of that? You know what I mean? Especially if you're the type of person that believes that a spirit's here based on unfinished business. If a spirit finishes its business for whatever reason, maybe they only haunt up to a certain couple generations that remember who they are, and then they bounce out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe they stick around as long as the story's being told about them. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the thing. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So like maybe when people aren't remembering them but are just hearing a story, maybe they move on, but by you recharging them, I don't know. What do you think on that recharge theory?
I could see that. Maybe it's just so draining, right?
Yes.
So yeah, that's totally understandable, because they say you know, spirits are affected by certain things, and if you drain them, then you might never maybe never see them again.
I would say so. Yeah. All right, Count, you ready to take a quick break?
Sure.
We'll be right back, and you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey there, Bob.
What'd you do during break?
During the break, Bob, I took a little vacation to Antarctica to cool down, and now I'm back here in the 95-degree heat.
Did you see any penguins?
Saw a couple penguins, a couple polar bears, the snowman.
You know, I went. You want to know what I did during break? What
did you do?
I went to go after that monolith, and then I got sent to a room where I watched myself die with a giant space baby.
Oh man, no, that's yeah. I hate when that happens.
2001 reference for you. So, Count, we are going to be taking our story extremely south today.
Okay.
Can you take a guess where we're at?
Florida.
It's more south.
Mexico.
More south.
Oh, Bob, where are we going?
Ecuador slash, in like, Ecuador and Chile.
Okay.
Actually. So, the reason why I'm doing this is because recently I've been doing the Twitch streaming a lot lately, as all of you guys may know. Yeah. Twitch.tv/BobAfterDarkPlays. I don't really have a set schedule. I play just about almost every day. But I had a weird boost in numbers from Ecuador.
Really?
Yeah. It was during the day. I was playing a game, like, because I don't normally stream during the day. It's usually at night, but there's times I'll stream during the day. And this one particular day, I had a boost, that I always check my analytics afterwards, just like I do with the podcast. And I had a good number of people watching from Ecuador that actually stuck around. And I'm like, well, I'm going to pay it forward and do a story about something from the Ecuador, like, area, Ecuador, Chile, anywhere around the Andes Mountains.
Okay.
All right.
We're going there?
Yes.
Okay.
Now I have here, the name is silly, or at least it looks silly and pronounces kind of silly, but it's not. It is the farthest thing from silly. Count Panic, what we are talking about today is your cousin from the Andes Mountains, the Pishtaco.
Pishtaco.
Pishtaco. P-I-S-H-T-A-C-O. Or, if you're like me, the Fish Taco.
The fish taco.
Oh, the fish taco.
Good fish taco.
Yes, and is the fat-stealing ghoul of the Andes.
Okay.
So I'm reading this article from Folklore Thursday. This was written by Nina Zumel. Known by many names, this legendary fat stealer stalks indigenous communities in the rural Andean highlands. In the Peruvian Andes, they say he wanders the roads at night and he may look like a person who does not belong in that neck of the woods. Hairy and bearded, wearing boots, a hat, and a leather jacket. He may be on horseback or in modern times driving a car. He may look like a priest walking along the side of a road. With his long knife, he attacks solitary travelers and dismembers them for food for their fat. In the Bolivian Andes, he might be the stranger next to you on the bus, so don't fall asleep. And don't walk alone on the roads either. If you meet him on the path, he will put you into a deep sleep with his bells or with a powder that he used of grinding human bones. As you sleep, he extracts the hard fat around your organs and with his knife or with a special machine. Once you awaken, you feel weak, you feel sick, and in a few days, you will die. The fat stealer sells his victims' fat for a variety of uses, to make medicine or beauty products, or machinery lubricant or airplane parts. Some even believe that the fat is made into a holy oil used in Catholic baptisms to make the candles used in churches or the grease the church bells. In central Peru, this is the Pishtaco from the Quechua Pistre, meaning to cut into pieces or to slaughter. In southern Peru and in Quechua-speaking parts of Bolivia, they call him the Nakik, or for the Quechua to butcher. To the Aymara speakers of Bolivia, he is known as the Karasishri, or that would mean to cut with a knife or a razor. And in southern Bolivia is the Liki Chiri, or the fat remover. I will refer to him as the Pishtaco.
Sure.
It's the Spanish-speaking Peruvian term and the name which I'm familiar with, and that's the easiest one for me to pronounce. The earliest account of the Pishtaco comes from legend and all the way back dating in 1574. According to the priest Cristobal de Molani, the indigenous Andes believed that the Spanish killed the indigenous Andes for their fat, as it was the only cure for certain diseases. Because of this, indigenous Andeans avoided the Spaniards refusing to enter their battle or enter their homes. There are, in fact, accounts of Spanish using native fat to treat wounds after battles. European traditional medicine ascribed healing powers to human fat until the 19th century. Later, the beach taco legend attached to the Bethlehemite friars who opened a hospital in Cusco in 1700. As these creatures, they also traveled the roads begging for food or water or whatever. And the traditional description of the beach taco reflects the appearance of a conquistador or a friar. Even today, the creature are generally described as outsiders. They don't look like everybody else. Maybe it's the color of the skin. Maybe it's a tick in their emotions. Maybe it's the way they carry themselves. But they don't look like what the native people would say are supposed to be there. Right? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does this legend have indigenous roots? In 1621, Pablo José de Arangia, writing about the exploration of Peru, described the Cauchu, meaning person, a blood-sucking vampire who preyed especially on children, and the caucus sneak into homes, putting the inhabitants into a deep sleep using a powder, once again, made from human bones. Scratching their victim with a fingernail, they suck as much blood from the wound as they can, and the victim dies 2 or 3 days later. Aringa's informants were accused of being caucus, and much of what was reported was probably invented under interrogation, like the devil coming into the meetings in the form of a lion or a tiger. Still, the figure and his method of inducing sleep provides some possible indigenous predates for details of the pistachio legend. In that region, there is a legend of the Sacamantica, or the fat stealer, who kills children and uses their fat or blood to cure disease. These stories did not appear in Spain in the beginning of the 19th century, which suggests that the legend derives from the Andean pistaco. That creature that we were just talking about is the Sacamantica. So the pistaco and the Sacamantia, very similar creatures, but not the same. And the fact that these stories weren't being told in Spain prior to, you know, them kind of going over into that neck of the woods and doing what they were doing, leads to wonder, did they take the legend of the fish taco with them? And then they were talking about this, you know, this creature that went with them. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just checking in on you. Okay. Over there.
I am.
Okay. In modern times, potential pistacos include wealthy landowners, priests, foreigners, and those involved in industrial and development projects. Since one of the uses of fat is for lubricating machinery, engineers and technicians are suspect. Aid workers, tourists, and even anthropologists sometimes must flee villages because of the rumors that they are the pistacos. Because the pistacos are mostly outsiders. Some scholars believe that the pistaco personifies the exploitation of indigenous Andeans by outside forces, if you catch my drift. The wealthy foreigners, even their own government. However, not all accused pistacos are these outsiders. Even indigenous Andeans whose behavior, personality, or habits fall far from the norm can be a suspect. Nathan Wachtel recorded such an example in his book, Gods and Vampires. Hence, an alternate but related theory is that pistacos are not so much the foreigner people that are there, are the people that act it, but they also are who stray from the norms of the rural community, no matter what they actually look like. So as I was saying, the outsiders that they believe are these pistacos are people that not necessarily look different, but there might be somebody that looks the same, but acts different. There's a quirk about them. You know what I'm saying?
It does.
Okay. Are you just saying that to shut me up?
No, I agree with you.
I'm giving you crap here. Outsiders don't participate in the reciprocal relationships that villagers have with each other or with the spirits who sustain the life of the community. By this theory, the pistaco explains how outsiders can wrongly prosper even without such mutual relationships. Rather than receiving a benefit via reciprocal exchanges, pistaco take benefit from others by stealing their fat and selling it for profit. Another possible theory, in regions where the Pishtako attack is a wasting illness, is that the Pishtakoism explained death from diseases like typhoid, much as vampirism explained death from tuberculosis in the 19th century New England. The connection to the outsiders could come historically from diseases such as smallpox, which the Spanish introduced on arriving in South America. Whatever its origins, the legend persists. In 1987, the rumor swept through the Peru's Ajico region, or the stronghold of the Shining Path, that the president had dispatched 5,000 Pishtakos to that region to pay off Peru's foreign debt with a human fat. In 2009, the director of Peru's Criminal Investigation Unit, General Estebio Felix Murga, claimed that the a Pishtako gang had murdered at least 60 victims in Huancuco. According to Moraga, the gang sold the fat $15,000 per liter through intermediaries to the European cosmetic companies. This claim was quickly debunked. For one thing, the authorities in that area knew nothing about this supposed rash of murders, but that a prominent government official would even float such a claim speaks to the currency of that belief, at least in some regions. In the wake of the 2009 incident, Bearder Gunnar Engblom shared some of his encounters with the Pishtako legend in remote areas of the Highland Peru. In reply, others have started sharing these stories been being taken for Pishtakos. So that is a whole thing. But if you are going to go explore the region of the Andes off the beaten path, remember that the Pishtako legend is one to at best be taken seriously. I actually found the Time News article about that that fat stealing gang. So this is a real news story, at least so much that was reported by Time. This was from 2009, and I'll read you guys the news article word for word. Peru's fat stealing gang, was it a crime or cover-up? And this was December 1st, 2009, specifically by Lucien Chavuva. Much of the world was shocked and titillated by the news of alleged fat-stealing murders in the Peruvian jungle. By the story may have been so much sinister underbelly. Could the allegation of homicidal liposuction possibly be a smokescreen to distract attention from other crimes, including, some journalists say, an extensive of a death squad that may be operating in the country's national police? The existence of marauding fat-stealers was made public in mid-November by General Felix Murga, head of the National Police Criminal Investigation Division, and Colonel Jorge Meja, who leads the anti-kidnapping unit. The team said that the gang may have killed dozens of people over the past 3 decades and showed off two dirty bottles containing a yellowish goop that they said was human fat and had been harvested for sale to European buyers in the cosmetic business. 3 people have been arrested, and the search continues for the at least 6 other fat removers. The police dubbed the gang Pishtakos, which is a, you know, what we were just talking about. So they used the term Pishtako from the local lore of the area, and they called the gang that. What I find interesting, though, is that these legends go back that some of these people that are the Pishtakos are not necessarily a gruesome vampire creature, but it can be just a very alluring romantic business person or land developer. I find that kind of fascinating. And in this case, what, you know, and this kind of builds up to the story of, well, what was the deal there? What were they actually doing there? And they were stealing people's, they were killing people and stealing their fat to sell them. That is such a strange thing to know off the top of your head, even as a criminal.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder if there's an actual weird legend going around there.
Something
that
these behind
Pishtako, exactly. Yeah. So what do you think of the, your Andean cousin, the Pishtako?
You know what? There might be more to it than what, like we're saying here and what you say here, but that is interesting. I never met him, I'll be honest. And, you know, he has several nicknames, as you referenced there, the fat stealer
yes.
and whatnot. But, you know, that's not really my style, Bob. He's a whole different class of family.
Yes.
I'm more of a sophisticated vampire.
That's, I'm happy to hear that.
I don't do the dirty work, Bob.
Yeah. I don't know, Cal. It's
Seems messy.
I like how they're able to tell this story with people, though, that kind of realm of reality. I think it's fascinating that people are able to draw conclusions to these stories based on, like, the history around them. Were these Pishtakos real people, or were they actual, you know, colonists that came over from Europe and all of that jazz? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I definitely know what you're saying. It could have been that, too, colonists.
100%. I don't know. I just wanted to share the story, and I wanted to thank my new fans on Twitch from Ecuador. I hope you guys enjoyed the local tale of the Pishtako.
Big in Ecuador.
Yeah, apparently these Pishtakos are, like, they're big bad down there, too. Like, these things are legitimately feared. If you go into rural communities, there are still people that get called out for being these types of things to this day.
Our peeps.
I would say so. So, Count, do you have any closing words for the audience this evening?
Bob, yes, everybody stay cool out there. Please, you know, it's a dangerous time with the heat and whatnot. So stay cool. Check on your neighbors. Keep those pets inside, right? Take them, don't leave them in the cars or anything like that. And have a safe safe summer solstice.
Absolutely. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening to Bob After Dark. To my mom, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And to my dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable, and doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are: not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.